This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
8 Asia Pacific currents.
News and labour issues from the Asia Pacific region.
We strongly condemn the police that arrest the protesters.
Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Workers of the world should unite to fight this greedy capitalist.
Brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links. Good morning and welcome to Asia Pacific Currents. It's 9 o'clock on the dot here on Community Radio 3CR. I'm Giselle Hannah.
And I'm Pierre Morrow in my husky winter voice on,
his
I'm afraid.
Deep,
so,
deep voice. Yes. I think he's trying to do something to me, listeners.
I'm not too sure what that means, Giselle. But anyway, hopefully my voice will last through the radio program, especially because we've got tons of news from the regions, and hopefully a very, very interesting interview later in the second half of the program. But before I get there, Asia Pacific Currents, as you know, is brought to you every week by Australia Asia Worker Links, and you can contact Australia Asia Worker Links on...
That's right. You can find us on the web, all the w's.aawl.org.au. You can give us a ring on 9663 7277. You can email us at aawl@aawl.org.au. And, of course, we're on Twitter and we're on Facebook, so you can follow us and like our page and get all of our news and information and updates on all of our current campaigns. And, of course, Pierre, as you alluded, we do have a very interesting interview in the second part of the program. We'll be speaking with Wol San from the KPTU, which is the Korean Cargo Workers Union. Last week we reported that truck drivers were set to take industrial action on Monday. They, in fact, did go on strike. And our interview in the second part of the program is just going to look at a little bit of the history of that particular dispute and, of course, what the outcome was of the recent strike last week.
That's right. And so if it all goes well, because it is a live interview and, you know, we have to be always...
I know we're not experienced that much anymore with live interviews. It could go either way, listener.
Come on, I'm sure it'll go well, but stay listening. But, of course, before we start on a news roundup, thank to all the people who actually donated for Radiothon, because we have reached our target, and I think 3CR itself has done quite well. So thank you very much. So, and for some of you who haven't paid yet and pledged, don't forget you've got to pay. It's not just pledging.
That's right. In fact, we exceeded our target. So really a genuine heartfelt thanks to all of our listeners for pledging so generously and funding this radio station that really does rely on listener support to keep us on air.
That's right, Giselle. And we'll go straight to the news items. Like I said, we've got a number of them. And as listeners would have realised, this week has seen lots of debate, discussion and hyperbole around the issue of asylum seekers who are seeking to reach Australian shores. While politicians are saying that all they want is to save people's lives and stop any more boats sinking, they have continued to frame the debate in nationalist and xenophobic terms around stopping the boats and defending our borders. All kinds of repressive legislation are being proposed again, from reinstating temporary protection visas to offshore detention centres in places like Indonesia and Nauru. Very little is being said about the reasons why people are fleeing from repression and how Australia has contributed to some of these situations in the first place by participating in wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Trade unions and worker organisations need to stand shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and sisters who are fleeing persecution. We say no to mandatory detention, temporary protection visas and offshore detention centres.
And still in Australia, earlier this week, over 1,000 workers across 210 worksites across Australia won a new agreement after a long-running AMWU campaign to improve wages and conditions. Among other things, workers have won a 4.5 pay increase per annum over the next 4 years and a fairer wages structure with a common pay scale. Of course, this is workers at Coates Hire. AMWU delegate Barry Kerrigan, a machine detailer based in Dandenong, commented that it was a good deal, especially as it stopped the company having an opt-out clause that could have allowed people into individual flexibility arrangements, which of course never works in favour of the worker. Improved rights for delegates was also a key improvement, with delegates in the four main business units receiving a desk, computer access, phone access and lockable cabinets. In other words, being given an environment in which they could actually represent their workers. With 210 worksites across Australia, many of which are in remote and regional parts of the country, it was the hard work of all our delegates, or the AMWU's delegates, using the resources of the AMWU that kept everyone involved in the process and resolute till the end. During these EBA negotiations, the union membership grew by 20%.
And that sounds like a fantastic effort, comrades. How well done. Just a short one from, again, in Australia, just to finish our local news, that next week is NAIDOC week, and the theme for this year's NAIDOC theme week is the spirit of the 10th Embassy, 40 years on. They're there to challenge. NAIDOC is the National Aborigines and Islanders Day Observance Committee. And there is going to be a rally in Melbourne as usual on next Friday, the 6th of July at 10 a.m. outside the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service, 186 Nicholson Street, Fitzroy. See you all there.
Moving now to Indonesia, Indonesian workers campaign for the right to organise free from harassment. Workers at the Serikat Pekara Enterprises manufacturing plant in the Klaten region of Indonesia have been in dispute since early May against a campaign of harassment and intimidation against them. The company has summarily dismissed workers, has pressured workers not to complain, has locked out some workers and has tried to set up a rival yellow union within the company. The workers are organised in the SC Enterprise Union, part of the larger CASBI Federation, and they've set out the following demands. Number one, re-employment of all workers of PTSC Enterprises that were dismissed. Number two, implementation of all workers' basic rights. Three, stop to all forms of intimidation, direct and indirect, towards the workers. And four, respect and provision of freedom to all workers to unionise, express opinions and organise. The dispute is continuing.
And we move nearby to Thailand, where this is a win, where over 300 workers at the apparel company in Mae Sot in Thailand were successful in their wage negotiations and are now being paid wages at the rate of the new minimum wage for the Mae Sot region. in line with other workers. This is a significant win as migrant workers are often denied this right and are paid much lower than the operative minimum wage. Now, these workers at the apparel company did not receive the wage increase as stated by the government on the 1st of April, and so they went on a campaign which included a three-week strike from mid-May. The workers were only being paid anywhere between 60 to 100 baht a day, when the minimum was supposed to be 162 baht a day, but after the strike, they will all now get around 225 baht a day, which is fantastic, and that doesn't include overtime. The workers also want improvements in overtime payments, the right to choose employment, greater security at work and less harassment from managers and supervisors. The fight is still continuing because there are still 60 workers at this company who are not covered by the new agreement, but the workers are trying to get them covered as well. So well done, comrades.
And now, Korea, this is in fact the story that we'll be looking at in greater detail in the second part of the show. But last week we reported that South Korean truck drivers were set to go on strike on Monday in a move that has shaken the industry. So in 2008, the truck drivers' strike cost capitalists in excess of $6.5 billion, not just the trucking companies, but anyone who wanted their goods transported. The five-day nationwide truckers' strike is now over. So those workers did in fact go on strike on Monday for 5 days. Unionised truck drivers began returning to work yesterday after 67% of them agreed to a 9.9% wage increase proposed by cargo distribution operators during a third round of negotiations on Friday morning. According to the Korean Cargo Transport Workers Union, the union decided to end the strike amid worsening disturbances in cargo transport. The union has pledged to go back to work and try to normalise the situation. The truckers' union says the higher wage will take effect from the beginning of August and that negotiations may need to be started again if oil prices surge. Earlier on Thursday, the two sides had a 10-hour marathon meeting in which the truckers demanded a 23% wage hike while the operators countered with an offer of 6%. Those discussions broke down, obviously, because discussions resumed again on Friday. We'll hear more about that dispute later in the program.
I'll be fascinated to hear some of the internal negotiation and how it all played out. But we go to Pakistan now, where the Gadani ship workers in the Balochistan province of Pakistan are trying to set up a convention to talk about the issues. Now, the Gadani shipbreaking yard, which is actually more of an area, is where the majority of ships get dismantled in Pakistan. And there's more than 15,000 workers who do the job in 14 different yards. And currently there's 50 ships being anchored just off the coast. Working conditions are notoriously bad. And just this year, 7 workers have died while dismantling the ships, with over 150 being injured. The basic facilities are denied to workers, including the right to form a union. When they did form a union 2 years ago, it was declared illegal by the courts in Pakistan in 2010. Now, currently, with the help of the National Trade Union Federation, Gadani shipbreaking workers have formed a new union and are planning to hold their first ever shipbreaking workers convention tomorrow at Gadani. Now, in the last week, they have been harassed by the local administration and the police to cancel their convention. The ship contractors, as a response, have also announced an ethnic-based convention on the same date and the same time in the area to try and sabotage the workers' convention and sow the seeds of ethnic and language differences among the workers and break down solidarity. The latest ploy by the city administration in the last couple of days was actually to pass the legislation to ban the event on the pretext of prevailing law and order situation. So we'll certainly keep you abreast, and we certainly hope that the convention goes ahead for this very important sector of workers.
In Iran, on Friday the 15th of June, 60 members of the Coordinating Committee to Help Form Workers' Organisations and a number of labour activists were arrested by the government or by government agents in Karaj City. The detainees were transferred to Rajai Shah Prison in Karaj. They were not charged under any criminal law. The next day it was reported that most of these workers were released from jail, but it's believed that 9 still remain in custody. These group of workers were arrested as they were having a meeting to discuss setting up unions and labour organisations in their workplaces in and around Karaj City. These arrests are part of an ongoing wave of repression by the Iranian government against unionists as workers try to organise in order to defend their wages and conditions. There is an international campaign calling for the release of the remaining 9 Iranian trade unionists, and of course, there are actually hundreds of thousands of Iranian activists in prisons at the moment.
And getting to our last item for the news roundup. In May of last year in Kazakhstan, over 1,000 oil workers in the town of Zanozan, a town in western Kazakhstan, went on strike and are sitting in the central square of that town. Their dispute was entering 6 months and had survived much harassment from authorities when, on the 16th of December 2011, armed troops moved in. At least 16 people were killed, with hundreds more injured from the shooting from the police and army. A state of emergency was announced following this crackdown, which banned further protest, and more than 100 workers and activists were detained in this crackdown. We have now information that many of these workers were tortured while in jail, while others are now facing years of jail often going through semi-secret trials. There is an international campaign by the International Trade Union Confederation and Labour Start for their release, and you'll be able to see more information soon on our website. But that's really all that we've got on. It's 9:15, and first of all, Gisela, I've got to really apologise to our listeners if you're hearing coughing and sniffing, but we just can't help it. I'm sorry, listeners, but we're trying our best. And we've got to go for a break because we've actually told that Walsan is on the line, so we'll go to a short community break and we'll be back with that interview on the Korean cargo truck drivers' strike.
This is Irene Bolger, former Secretary of the Nurses Federation in Victoria. Throughout the nurses dispute in 1986 and the waterfront dispute in 1998, 3CR was always there, broadcasting the voices of workers in struggle.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio and we're broadcasting live from the Baeda Chicken Strike here in Melbourne.
We've just seen all of the thousands of nurses walk through to their meeting and people from different unions showing their solidarity.
3CR. Radio for the workers, by the workers, since 1976.
It's just on 9:16 here on Asia Pacific Currents, the weekly radio program of Australia Asia Worker Links. And
we're fortunate enough to have Walsan with us this morning. Walsan is an activist working on the strike with the Korean Public Transport Workers Union. Welcome, Walsan. How are you this morning?
Hi, it's good to be with you.
Thank you.
Okay.
The KPTU Cargo Truckers Solidarity Division went on strike earlier last week, on Monday, in fact. Can you tell us how many workers took part and what impact it had?
The strike is now over, by the way. I don't know if you know that, but I think at the height of this strike, there were about 80 to 90,000 workers on strike. The Cargo Truckers Solidarity Division of the KPTU has about 10,000 members, but when they strike, a lot of non-members participate. And then the government was particularly interested in container truck drivers, so that they're dealing with the containers that are import-export and transmodal. And there were about almost 10,000 of those workers striking, and that's about 80% of the number of those trucks in major logistics areas, the logistics centers in Korea.
We might just ask you to just speak a little bit higher so that we can hear you better. We can hear you, but it's a little bit low. But just getting to the second question, this is actually the second major strike of the truck drivers in 4 years. Now, were there issues related to the last general strike, or were there different issues this time?
They're pretty much the issues are the same as the issues in 2008. So the cargo truckers are technically independent contractors, but what that means, they are actually very in an employment relation, almost an employment relationship with the truck companies, but because of their technical employment form as independent truck drivers or independent contractors, they don't have unionization rights, so that they're demanding unionization rights. Another thing that is a central demand is to have a standardized freight rate system. And so also because they're at the bottom of a very complex multi-layer chain of subcontracting, they end up with wages that are lower than minimum wage. And so they've been demanding that the government make a standard system for freight rates so that they can protect their basic livelihood. And in 2008, they made that demand, and they got a promise from the Korean government to implement a system like that, and the government hasn't been keeping its promise, and so that was a major issue in this strike again 4 years later, and as well, raising freight rates immediately is another demand that was the same before in the 2008 strike and the same this time.
The freight rate demand, is that linked at all to the issue of increasing oil prices in the region?
That's right. Right. So over the last 5 years, in Korea, you have raised, I mean, the world, there's oil prices have been gone up, but also in Korea, the oil selling of petrol gas is dominated by a few conglomerates, what we call chaebol. They're family-owned conglomerates, and they, you know, they're seeking to make a profit, so they keep the fuel rates high. Well, the government has a high tax on fuel rates, and so that those the fuel prices have gone up a lot over the last 5 years, whereas the rates that the truck drivers receive have gone down. And so the truck drivers are asking both that the rates that they receive that are their wages be made realistic to a decent, and that also that they get a subsidy or they get a waiver from the government on fuel prices, so that they, you know, also that because that comes directly out of their salary, they have to pay for that.
You mentioned that the number of workers that went on strike, the numbers who are unionized is only a minority, but a lot of non-unionized truckers actually came out to support this strike. Can you just give us a bit of an understanding how that works and how much influence the union has, and has the union managed to increase the numbers?
Has the union, I'm sorry, been able to increase the number of members? That's the last part of the question.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay, so the number of truck drivers in the union is about 10,000. That's been 10% of the total number in Korea. But the demands that the cargo truck, the union, or the cargo truck, it's actually not the union, the Cargo Trucker Solidarity Division of the KPTU, they're really the demands of other cargo truck drivers. So there's a lot of sympathy when they go on strike. On the other hand, there are a lot of cargo truck drivers who support this, the KPTU's cargo trucker division, but they know that it's very dangerous to be part of this organization. I mean, I'll call it a union because in the labor movement, we recognize it as a union. There are a lot of cases where if your employer knows that you joined the union, they will take away your commercial license, or they will, you know, there'll be some discrimination against you. And of course, there's been government repression. So even if union members, or rather non-union members, sympathize with the goals of the cargo truckers union, then they may, you know, not join for practical reasons. But then, if there's a strike, because they support the demands, they will go on strike as well. And generally, in the past, when there have been some successes with a strike, then the membership goes up. So we'll hope that the membership goes up now that the strike is over. And while all of the demands weren't achieved, and some of them were achieved, or at least partially achieved, and we think the union is in a good position to move forward, continuing to put pressure on the government now. So hopefully we'll see an increase in membership.
And was there a broader impact of this strike? Firstly, I mean, congratulations, it does sound like it was a win. Was there any support for this strike from other trade unions?
Right. So the Cargo Trucker Solidarity Division is part of the Korean Public and Transportation Workers Union and Federation. And there, that federation is part of the Korean, the KCTU, the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions, which is the national center. And so that whole structure was very supportive of the strike on the 28th. All of members from all of the different divisions in the KCTU came out and held a massive rally in near one area where it's a very central logistics depot, and there was, where the cargo truckers were protesting, and they were making their own demands about their own issues, but also supporting the cargo trucker strike. In addition, the cargo truckers are in alliance with two other groups of workers. They the construction workers, equipment operators went on strike at the same time because they essentially had the same demands or very similar demands, similar type of employment relationship. And so they declared that they, several months ago, declared that they were going to go on strike at the same time and support each other's strike and try to build more power by stopping logistics and also stopping the construction sites at the same time. So that was very important. And then also in general, the cargo truckers are in alliance with other workers who are deemed technically as independent contractors but are actually in disguised employment relationships. And so all of those workers come together to make demands for unionization rights. And then, of course, there's the whole KCTU. And so the KCTU in general is gearing up for a general strike at the end of August. And they had a pre-strike rally on the 28th in Seoul. And, of course, that gave power to the cargo truckers' strike as well.
Wolsan, unfortunately, our time is running out, so we've really got time for one more question. And you've really started the ball rolling with your last bit of the answer there. And my last question really is this strike, and we know there was a very big taxi strike just last week as well. Do you think the Korean working class is starting to get reorganized and a bit more militant again over these last few months?
I hope so. I think that, and this may be a personal opinion, the union movement was trying to depend on alliance with opposition parties and had thought that up to the general elections that happened last April, and there was this thought that if the opposition got a majority in parliament, then maybe we could use a led strategy in the second half of the year to get some demands demands achieved. And the fact is that the opposition party didn't get a majority. And after that, I think the KCTU leadership and the union movement was quite confused because there was a lot of expectation that was going to happen. But since then, KCTU has declared a general strike, and KCTU, for instance, is doing a lot of work doing education, having dialogue and meetings with members to talk about the importance of that strike. The cargo truckers, I think their strike is really at the forefront of demonstrating workers' power and building workers' power. So but it's a sign that things are moving in the right direction. And the cargo truckers say their slogan is stop the flow of goods and change the world. And so I think that it's really very important and symbolic to see a group of workers that recognize their power as workers, recognize the power of their labor to
society
in a better world. Okay.
That is so inspiring. Thank you very, very much. Particularly, thank you for your time. You must be up quite early to do this interview live for us in Australia. So we really do appreciate your time, and we extend our deepest solidarity greetings to you and the workers that were involved in that struggle.
Okay, thanks very much.
That was Wolsan, and Wolsan is an activist working on the strike with the Korean Public Transport Workers Union, which is the federation to which the KPTU belongs, and that is the Cargo Truckers Solidarity Division. It is 9:28 here on Asia Pacific Currents on Community Radio 3CR, which means that's the end of this week's program. For those of you who are members of Australia Asia Worker Links, I thought I'd just mention that one of our general meetings is next Wednesday. It's a closed meeting for members and affiliates only, but the discussion is going to be quite interesting. It's going to be a strategical discussion about how to build international industrial action and solidarity, particularly in the transport industry. So we've been talking about airlines. We've now got the transportation of goods on roads, and of course the transportation of goods across water. How do we link these industries and these struggles to hit the capitalists as hard as possible. If that topic interests you, you should probably join AAWL in order to be a part of them, a part of these discussions. So you can contact us or reach us on our website, allthews.aawl.org.au. That really is all we have time for. The Connolly Association is up next. I'm Giselle Hannah.
And I'm Pierre Morrow. But given that I'm in the panel, Giselle, I will actually have the last words. I know you tried to talk, so you wouldn't leave me any time. But
I do what I can, listeners.
I do actually like to make a tiny little comment about the about that interview with Walt Sand and about the slogan of the truckers that basically said workers change the world, which I have to say, listen, it's actually the slogan of Australia Asia Worklink, so we can only agree with it, can't we, Giselle?
Indeed.
So we couldn't have said it better. So, but yes, it is the end of our program. We'll be back next week with another program of news of labour issues around the Asia Pacific region. And thanks again for all the people who have contributed to the Radiothon. But the Connolly Association will be coming up after these community announcements. So stay tuned and have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online.